This is a sequence today on backbending. You can use it any time when you need the props, even if it's not indicated. So first, stand in Tadasana. I think it's always good to stand in Tadasana at the beginning of your practice, even if it's only for a short time. But all the principal points that you can get from your Tadasana you'll be using in the poses as you do leading up to your backbending, a few Urdhva Danyurasas, and at the end if you're doing the Urdhva Danyurasana. So weight your heels, spread your toes. And as you spread your toes and weight your heels, the upper leg rolls in, back of the leg rolls out. Make sure you're getting the weight back on your heels, but continuing to make the sharpness come to the outer shin and the inner leg. Outer shin sharp, cutting back and holding in. It's like you squeeze your shin bones as close together as you can, but at the same time, you draw up through your inner leg, through the inner knee to your inner upper leg and roll the back of the leg out. Front pelvis away from your legs, tailbone holding, so you get the length through the back waist and the stability around the outer head of the leg. Take your outer arms back, find your scapula, pin the scapula against your back chest and feel the spreading of your inner chest. Throat quiet. And turn mat to the wall now and put your hands to the wall, thumbs to the wall, fingers extending out, and walk back and do Adho Mukha Svanasana. And just let your head release now. You can see your legs, you can see your calves, you can see the back, feel the back of your knees. Spread your toes like you did in Tadasana. Bring the weight back on your heels. Use your arms to get that. Outer shin sharp, even though your feet are slightly apart. Outer shin sharp. Quiet. Release the back of your head. And just get the blood coming into your head and your chest just to get your practice beginning. But notice your feet, the arches, the outer ankle, the outer shin, the inner leg rolling back, groin soft, release your head. And then come and bend your knees and do Malasana. So you might need a little bit of packing underneath your heels, and that's fine, but get that same softness in your groin and the compactness and sharpness on the outer head of your leg. Outer shin sharp. Just let the knees spread and release. Quiet now. And now just lift your buttocks, lift your hips, and just let the back of the leg open and go to Uttanasana. And again, like you did, let the back of the leg spread. Your back of your knees and the back of your thighs will be spreading more than in your Tadasana, of course. But now just bring the weight quietly through to the through the heels to the front part of your foot, so you get more lift in your hips and releasing in the back of your head. Lateral length, quiet. Now set up for Virasana and use as much support as you need. But make sure your feet are turning back so you get the length in the front of the shin. Upper legs rolling in. No tension on the inner knee. If you find the tension coming onto the inner knee, you might have to get a little bit more holding and lift through the inner thigh a little bit more. But see that your shins are placed well, and that will give good attention to the knees. And then once you've set yourself up for that, just sit for a moment. And again, back pelvis down, front pelvis up. Lift your waist so your chest spread. And take your hands into Urdhva Baddha, Ungulyasana, and just let the wrists open. You'll need these wrists and upper arms working for when you get into your further into your asanas and for your back bends. Lengthen the elbows. So for Urdhva Dhanurasana, you need good energy and strength and length in your elbows and your upper arms and your wrists. So your side ribs lengthening. And then release your fingers and do the other leg. Do the other side. And just feel as you take your arms up, you spread your fingers. Keep the fingers very passive. They shouldn't be hard and gripping. Keep your throat quiet and get that lateral length that you need. And then release and come down. And you're going to go back in Supta Virasana. And as you go back in your Supta Virasana, again, make sure you stay connected to the pelvis. You've got to watch that you don't shorten your back waist. Even though it will get more of a curve in it, you mustn't feel as if it's jamming. A lot of work on the front of your pelvis, shins holding down. And then just stay quiet, because that opening that you're getting now in the front of your thighs and the front of your pelvis is absolutely essential for, of course, all your poses, but particularly if you want to go into back bending. Let your throat stay quiet. Just be passive, quiet. It needs time. It needs patience in your Supta Virasana, because it is challenging for the fibers of the front of your thighs. But don't feel your knees. It's important not to feel your knees. If you feel your knees, you need to come up and adjust. Just quiet inhalation and exhalation. Gradually the fibers of the muscles begin to quieten, the nerves begin to quieten. You can feel gradually your breath might be beginning to get a bit more stable. Chest spreading. And Supta Virasana is a very challenging pose for some of us. One of the most important things is to just pay attention to any tension in your knees or your lower back. And now quietly come up. And part your knees and go forward. Adho Mukha Virasana. Let your Adho Mukha Virasana give that relief to the back, chest spreading. Because, of course, your back bending is a lot to do with your back, but it's all about also opening up the anterior body as well. And now come up into Adho Mukha Svanasana. You might be able to take your fingers up the wall so you open up your wrists again. Release the back of your head. Just go quiet for a moment. Now your hamstrings are lengthening and your quadriceps, they're firming and holding, which is exactly the reverse that you were doing in your Virasana. Supta Virasana. Release your head, side ribs lengthening. And just quiet inhalation and exhalation. And then bend your knees, come down. And we'll do Parigasana. So nearly on your left shin, and again place the shin like you did in Virasana. So your feet are turning back. And you could get that lift on your inner leg. That's important, of that kneeling leg. And they'll go out to the right side. And as you go out to the right side, just find the lateral length. But at the same time as you're getting that length right through the upper arm, keeping the length in the elbow and the wrist, length in the elbow, so you work the upper arm like you did in your Urdhva Baddha Ungulasana. But come back and connect the outer head of the leg, the tailbone, the outer head of the right leg, the outer head of the left leg. So there's that compactness and holding and containment there. And then come up and change the other side. And go off to the left. We've done this quite a few times in these sequences. It's a versatile asana to give you lots of connections to your hips and your legs and your side ribs and consequently your breath. Don't let your front pelvis get heavy and drop into that left leg. Front pelvis still holds away from your legs. And then inhale, come up. Okay, go back to your Malasana now and see if you've got a little bit more releasing in your groin and your hips. Again, if you find your heels aren't weighted, and that's really important in your Malasana, it has all the principal points of your Tadasana except your knees are bent. So you weight your heels, you spread your toes, your groin stays soft, the legs are rolling in. Outer head of the leg is sharp and firm. Just see how it is. Just quiet. And I'll come up and do Uttanasana. Okay, do Parsvottanasana. And we're going to have the foot up the wall, right foot up the wall. And when you step your left leg back, make sure your left leg stays rolling in because it'll tend because of the perhaps the tightness somewhere. The left hip will want to roll up and back a little, so your leg needs to be connecting to your pelvis and making that left hip come forward. But you can see we're extending the arms up the wall. And the purpose of this is to get that lateral extension like you did in Parigasana. But get to the length through the upper arm and your chest lifting and finding out if you can keep that front pelvis moving away from your legs. It's quite can get a little bit sticky or challenging, but front pelvis away from your legs, tailbone holding, and let it lift and fire up the chest. Press back on your back heel. But as you press back on your back heel, don't let your arms begin to get heavy and slip. And then come up and go to the other side. So left foot up the wall. Again, your right side, left side, quite different. But back of the front leg rolling out. Back of the front leg from the knee to the buttock lifting. Working your big toe. To get that connection to your inner leg. And just extending, maximize. It's not like going to the floor for Parsvottanasana, but you're using your Parsvottanasana from another angle. Tailbone, front pelvis lifting. And then inhale, come up. So you're going to show those elements when you do your Utkatasana. So be in Tadasana. Go to Urdhva Hastasana and really make those arms lift. You felt them in your Parsvottanasana. You keep the length in the elbow. Extend right to your fingertips and then soften the groin, weight your heels and begin to bend your groin, your knees and your ankles. And don't sit heavily, but go with the upward movement of the arms to release. Keep the weight on the heels. Weight on the heels. You should feel in your thighs. Feeling that connection to your upper thighs. Shins to your knees. Thighs to your pelvis. And you can lift your eyes a little to look up towards your hands, but make sure you work your back chest and lift your arms. And now come up. Come up working that Urdhva Hastasana action and the weight on your heels. So let's show those elements when you do Virabhadrasana 1. And again, we're going to do it to the wall with your toes up the wall. Just to give a little bit more sharpness on the shin and the outer head of the leg. And when you step your left leg back, if your heel begins to lift, don't bring your foot forward so your heel's on the ground, because you won't be getting that space and that opening. You'll feel jammed. So take your foot back. So as you begin to bend your knee, your thigh begins to release, your knees begin to release. You won't necessarily get your thigh parallel to the floor, but it's about getting that connection to the back leg and the back pelvis and the left pelvis in this instance. So you can feel the front of the pelvis holding tall, and you're not letting your front pelvis drop into your back leg. So you've got fingertips at the wall, lift your chest, and then from back heel, just below your knees, see if you can get a little bit more lift in the front of that, like Virasana leg, the front pelvis lifting to your chest, and see how much more you can get the lift in your chest. And just stay with it. And then change the other side. So we're not going to lift the arms up. We'll do it the second time and lift your arms up. So right leg back. And step back, step back, step back. Your heels lifting, wriggle your foot back and then press your heel down. If you need to slightly turn your heel in, do, but don't at the expense of overturning your left, right hip back out. So front pelvis goes from your right pelvis, right hip towards your left, just like in Pajvottanasana. And really work hard on that back leg. Work hard to get the front right pelvis lifting. Use your arms, lift your chest. Keep your throat quiet. And just stay patiently, be patient. You have to teach your body what's to happen. Even though the words are coming, you have to actually teach yourself. You have to keep that contact. You have to keep that. It's like a dialogue you have to keep going. So the clues get there. Inhale, come up. Okay, Virabhadrasana 1. Right foot up the wall. Fingertips on the wall. Step your leg back, step your leg back, step your leg back. And now Urdhva Hastasana with your arms. And make that big movement happen like it did in your Utkatasana, and just stay quiet, lift. You do have a certain element of maintaining the stability and balance. So lift your chest, back heel, and see if you can become quiet. And if your arms begin to get heavy, charge them up. Inhale, come up. Inhale, exhale, come up. And do the other side. So once the right leg's back, don't forget your back leg. Don't forget your right pelvis. Urdhva Hastasana. Arms, elbows, wrists, palms, fingers. It makes the pose light. When you work your arms, as soon as you let your arms get heavy and drop, then the pose will become heavy. You'll get heavy in your legs and your pelvis, no matter how hard you think you're working your legs. And that's that same thinking when you go to your other poses, and particularly in your back bending. Just can't work one of the organs of action. You've got to work both those organs of action. Arms, legs, legs, arms. Inhale, exhale, come up. Okay. Just be in Tadasana. Just stay for a while. Just consolidate what you've been doing. And now Pinchamirasana. So place your arms well. Again, we're firing up the upper arms, but again, opposite to what you were doing in your Virabhadrasana 1, your Utkatasana, you've got to get your legs working now. Legs tall. Even though you were working your arms and legs, you've got to be quite mindful of what's happening in your legs. Upper arms, work a lot of work on your upper arms. If you're doing the preparation, that's fine, but still think about what's happening in your upper arms. And then come down. Just do Uttanasana. Do Adho Mukha Vrikshasana. So fingers forward. But before you go up, make sure you bring your weight right forward so your upper arms are lifting. So you've got to work that length in the elbow and the upper arm. And then go up. Extend your inner heel. Extend the back of the heels up the wall so you get the height in your back body. Even though there's a slight curve, it has to have height and length. So there's space. Tailbone, front pelvis, back of the legs rolling out. So it's like you're doing your Tadasana. Spread your toes. Let the head release just for a moment so you're not... But as you release your head, really work and charge up through your upper arms. Now, when you're coming down, make sure you maintain the height in your upper arms. So when you're bringing one leg down, don't drop into your shoulders or elbows. Really get that, keep the length up. And it comes from containing and working the outer leg and the pelvis. Stay quiet for a moment, maybe in your Uttanasana. Now, force your sasana. Again, get your base happening. If you're doing preparation, of course, do that. Or you can do Prasarita Padottanasana. It's up to you. But in your shasana, you've got your base, your forearms, the back of your head releasing. And again, your legs, feel your legs. Back of the leg, inner heel, spread your toe. You can't see them, so you've got to know. You've got to keep talking to them. You've got to keep teaching them, telling them. Tailbone, make sure the back pelvis is holding to the leg side. As soon as you drop your back pelvis, you'll go right into your lower back. And that's a really important element in your back bending. Front waist holding tall. Back of the ears. And then gradually you'll get the balance and the quietness. And just find your breath. Inhaling, pausing, exhaling. And making the height come. You use your exhalation to get the height. Extending your inner heel. So it's like you want to, the legs want to get away from the pelvis, but the pelvis chases them and holds them and makes those legs taller. So you keep the weight and the heaviness off the shoulders and your upper arm. But then make sure your upper arm, it's been fired up through your Pinchamayurasana and your Adho Mukha Vrikshasana. So the scapula is pinning, the outer arm is sharp. cutting forward. You've got good thinking happening on your forearm and the little finger side of the wrist. So you maintain that length through the little finger side of the wrist to the little finger. And you don't let the outer wrist drop, the thumb side of the wrist drop out. You've got to keep it lengthening. And once there's heaviness in the wrist or the wrists begin to get heavy and bend, you'll lose the connection to your upper arm. So you've got to keep that length through the wrist. I think Guruji said also once in teaching Shasana, don't let the knuckles of your fingers drop to the floor. So take the knuckles of your fingers away from the floor. And then you'll get height in the upper arm. Just a few more moments, just staying quiet. You can bend your knees and do like Virasana. Your heels to the buttock. And just see when you take your heels to the buttock, you don't drop your tailbone. You don't roll the back of your leg in, so the front of the leg rolls out. You keep that, maintain that connection through your legs. And then as you extend and straighten your legs and extend your inner heel, stay tall. A few more moments now. Now to come down, maintain the height in your arms, the pinning of the scapula, the sharpness in your back chest. Bent or straight legs, but no matter if you're doing bent or straight legs, legs rolling in at the front. Maintaining the softness in your groin. And then come down. Do Uttanasana or Adho Mukha Svanasana, just to release the head and the neck. Now we are going to do Viparita Dandasana over the chair. So you might need to prepare or have already prepared your chairs. But before you do Dvipada, do Marichyasana 3, a twist facing into the wall. And have your foot, if you can, on the top of the chair. You may probably need to put something underneath the back of the heel of the standing leg. So keep the connection and the integrity and the height in the front of the thigh and the front of the pelvis. If you get a sinking feeling in your pelvis, then you haven't maintained the height or the connection of your inner leg. So as you turn to the wall, just find your height, the groin stay soft, but get that extension. You might even feel the front of your thigh extending like it did in Virasana. A tremendous action happening on the front of that action of the front of your leg. Just to get height and length, turn quietly the pelvis. And then let's do the other side. Because when you go over your chair in Viparita Dandasana, you are extending the front of your pelvis. So find the length as you get the twist and the length through your lower abdomen. And even if you have your heel on a brick of the standing leg, you still keep the weight back on your heel. Because if you let your thigh begin to sink forward, you'll sink into your legs. You have to stay tall off your leg, tall off your leg. Because even though you're feeling the front of the thigh lengthening, it's still firm. It's still holding the bone. And then release. Okay, and then prepare yourself to go over for Vibhuti and Dasan over the chair. And again, watch as you take your head just below the scapula. So we're working on getting that presence and the opening of the upper chest and feeling how you have to work your scapula. Don't take your arms over too quickly, but prepare the chest to go over, but also come back to your legs. You shouldn't get any sensation into your lumbar. If that happens, just check that you've got good enough support for your tailbone. But maybe you might need to bring your feet up the wall because there's a lot of extension through the front of your pelvis and you haven't got that opening there yet. Then you will get a reaction. So you might have to take your feet up a little higher. If you feel it getting tension in your diaphragm and your chest, well, maybe you're not opening the front of your pelvis enough. And of course, if you need to support your head, do. Don't feel your neck. All of this should allow your neck to curve very quietly. And of course, if your chest isn't opening enough, then your neck won't curve. It needs to soften and curve. It needs to have that roundness and the softness that comes into the dorsal area to let your neck curve and your throat, particularly your throat, to stay quiet. When you extend your arms like Urdhva Hastasana. As when you're doing your Urdhva Dhanurasana, these arms must have that same length, that same extension. Back of the head quiet. You can interlock your fingers. You can fold your elbows. But if you do these added arm actions, just observe how they connect to your upper arms, your shoulders, your chest, your breath, how it changes your breath. Just quiet inhalation and exhalation. And even though that outer spine is opening and there's that chest releasing, don't go sleepy. Even though you're very supported, it's a very working pose. And now bend your knees. And when you bend your knees and place your feet on the floor, feel the weight onto your heels. Feel your toes spreading. Feel the upper leg rolling in. Feel the back of the leg rolling out. And then quietly inhale, exhale, come up. You'll find how your breath is now. That's what we need this at the moment. We need our chest opening. We need our breath quiet, but healthy. and just sit up. You don't need to put your legs through the chair like Kirsten's showing, and turn to the right. Just don't overdo it. Just quite inhale, exhale, turn. And then turn to the left, inhale, exhale, turn. And then one more time, turn to the right. And just get a little bit more height now. Lift through your waist. Sharpen where the chair was across your back. Pin your scapula. Work your upper arm. Inhale, exhale, and turn. Inhale, exhale, turn. And then do the left side. Inhale, exhale, turn. And then turn again. But again, come back to your feet. As you're turning, you've got to utilize and get to understand your feet and your legs and your shins and your thighs and your knees. This is Bhairavajasana. As you turn. So don't stay connected to your feet. You've got to practice your base so that when you do back bending, there's good base. As you turn to the left, so you keep connected to the little toe side of your right and the big toe side of your left as you turn to the left, and then come back. Good. Okay, put your chair against the wall. And just to get a bit of freedom and length through your spine and your side ribs after your back bending, do Adho Mukha Svanasana with your hands on the seat of the chair and just stay quiet and get the length. You can still see what's happening in your legs, your side ribs, your side chest. Release your head. And now go to Urdhva Mukha, Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. So upper arms lifting, chest spreading. And you may find that you might need to walk your feet in a little to get more lift in your arms and your chest. So you've got a lot of length and space happening because you've got your hands on the seat of the chair. Work your legs. Don't let your legs get heavy. Spread the knees. Bottom of the below your knee to the top of your pelvis. Remember how it felt in Virabhadrasana 1. And then go back. Just press back into probably a short Adho Mukha Svanasana. But get the length. And then go Urdhva Mukha again. So let the Urdhva action bring that energy to the arms and the chest and stability in your legs. Keep your toes forward, bring your chest forward, and you may be able to roll over on your toes and get more lift in your arms and your side ribs and your side chest and the front of your pelvis. And then press back. Okay, you can put the chair to the side or wherever you wish. Do Tadasana, Urdhva Hastasana, Uttanasana, Adho Mukha Svanasana. So your hands are placed well. Your feet are connected. You can see your legs. When you go to Urdhva Mukha Svanasana, you won't be able to see your legs, but you've got to feel them. Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. So you've got to get that extra height. Spread your chest. Take your outer arm back. Back of the leg. Is it rolling out? Adho Mukha Svanasana. Release your head. Urdhva again. Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. Toes forward initially. So back of your legs, feel it. So don't let the front of your thigh get heavy. That's why in your Marichyasana, with your foot on the back of the chair. You need to get that height. So don't let your front of your thigh get heavy and drop. Adho Mukha Svanasana. Release your head, because you're going to do one more Urdhva. Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. Big movement. And then bend your knees, come down. So let's just do one Urdhva Mukha Svanasana from the floor without that extra added help of Adho Mukha Svanasana. So place your hands onto the floor, spread your fingers, every knuckle down, outer arm sharp. Turn your toes forward because it will help you get a good connection to your upper legs. And now, Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. Lift your upper arms, lift your chest, back of the leg rolling out. Watch you don't let your waist get heavy. So just from the top of the pubis to your navel to your waist, lift so it gives that added extra thrust to your floating ribs and your diaphragm and your chest. And then roll forward even more. So turn, roll forward so your toes are turning back and you've got even more lift in your upper chest and your upper arms. And then release and come down. You might need to stay quiet for a little moment or so because we're going to go to Ustrasana. And you can see where all those principal points and elements of your Tadasana are so important. So we gather the principal points of our asanas to make another asana a little bit more refined, a little bit more connected. So come up on your shins again. You're very connected to your shins in your Parigasana and in your Virasana. So turn your feet, toes back, and make sure that you get very connected to your big toe side. So get connected to the little toe side of your foot now. And it'll help to release and roll the back of your legs out a little bit more. Bring your hands onto your buttock. And as you do that, lift up, maintain the connection to your legs and your pelvis. Take the outer arm back and then just begin to take your fingers, hands down the back of your thighs. And you can feel if you've got the back of your thighs rolling out. You can use your hands to roll the back of your thighs to roll, make sure they're rolling out. And begin to curl, 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 curl. Work your arms. Press your hands against the back of your thighs and work those upper arms so you can feel your scapula pinning in and lifting that inner chest so you're able to extend your head back. If you're not lifting your chest, then your neck might get stuck. So curl back, curl back, curl back. Extend. And then your hands come onto the back of your calves to your feet. And then you don't just stop there. Don't stop working your arms now. Lift, get that thrust of the upper arm to lift your chest. And to come up, you've got to really hold your back body. Really keep the firmness in the back body and bring the weight now forward. And the last thing to come up is your head. And then sit back on your heels. Now, of course, all of this can be modified for those who can't take their feet onto the, your hands onto your feet. You can put your hands on bricks or you can put your hands onto a chair. If you're feeling any neck concerns, we'll go back close enough to the wall so that when you go back, you can have support of your head against the wall. Or you can always put up enough support on chairs to be able to curl back on that. Okay, let's do Ustrasana again. So shins down, curl back, lift up, tailbone, back of the legs, curl back, take back, curl back. Keep your throat quiet. And then once your hands touch your feet or your support, curl up a little bit more, so suck in the back ribs, hold the tailbone, suck the tailbone, and lift through the waist. So even though your back body is shortening, it shouldn't be hard and contracting. It should be, in a way, lengthening, even though it's more curving. And even though that sounds a bit contradictory, you've got to watch you don't harden and grab the muscles of your back and come up. Okay, do one more on your own time. Off you go. When you're completed, just go forward and add a more kavirasana. Being quiet now. And now prepare for Urdhva Dhanurasana. All at different levels, no matter. Use whatever you need. And you can see Kirsten's doing it with her hands to the wall, and that's not necessary. It can come away from the wall, but it gives you a little bit of purpose with your forearms and your chest. But no matter what, you've got to think about your feet. You've got to think about what's happening in your shins. There's hinges there. Guruji says open the hinges of the legs and the hips. So you can see how the hinges of the foot and the shin, and then the back of the calf and the back of the thigh and the front of the pelvis. If any of those hinges narrow, then your back bend will be very heavy. So place the hands onto the floor and make sure you stay connected to your feet, because you get caught up with your arms sometimes. So keep to your legs. Inhale, exhale, go up. Not calling anything. It's your pose. You've got to ask yourself, am I maximizing the lift? Are my scapula pinned in? Is my tailbone holding? Are the back of my legs rolling out? And in your coming down, work your feet and your legs. And then come down. Place your hands on the floor. Weight your heels. Spread your toes. Lift your toes away from the floor. Can you feel your shins? Keep your heel on the floor and lift the sole of the foot. Can you feel your shin, your thigh connecting to your pelvis? That's how it has to be. So when you release your toes, the sole of your foot and your toes, don't let your legs slip forward. Keep them holding back towards your chest. And then inhale, exhale. Come up, put the crown of the head on the floor. Pause. Connect to your feet, your shins, your thighs. Curl your chest. And inhale, exhale, up you go. Release your head. Spread your toes. Pin the scapula, curl your chest, release your head so your throat doesn't harden. And as you come down, think about your legs. And just stay quiet there. Your breath will be completely changed. So let your breathing quieten. And then number three, up you go. It's yours. Stay quiet. Watch you not gripping your jaw. Stay tall in your upper arms, stay tall in your upper legs. How? Weight your feet, lift the shins. Come to the finger side of your hands and lift your forearms, lift your upper arms. And then come down. So you can do more if you like. Sometimes you get into that space where it just seems like you want to go again. But just otherwise be quiet for a moment or so. If you need to, you can go forward and add a book of Virasana supported. But maybe do Supta Padangustasana. Just release your back with that. And first bend your knees, hold the shins. And again, it's not about doing Supta Padangustasana at the beginning of a class. You do sometimes Supta Padangustasana at the beginning of the class to release your hips, but to get more in contact with your hamstrings and your hips and to work the back of your legs. But now it's to release your back. So be quiet with it, be gentle with it. And then bend your left leg up and extend your right leg. It doesn't mean that your legs get lazy. You still extend your inner heel of your right. And then bend your right leg up. Use a strap. Even if you can hold your big toe, use a strap. Bend your knee a little. Press your foot into the strap. Straighten your leg. And just stay quiet. Soften the groin. The groin, quiet, quiet. And then change to the left leg. And as you go to your left leg, just keep quiet in the back of your leg. Even, yes, you will still feel your hamstring, but you're not drawing your leg forward. Just keep it quiet, the groin quiet, so your abdomen is quiet. There's been a lot of blood coming into the abdomen and your pelvis and your diaphragm. Just let it be quiet there. And then you'll gradually find that your mental body will quieten because it's very stimulating. Your back bends are very stimulating. And now prepare for Padangustasana 2, but make sure you've got support underneath your outer thigh. Turn your leg out, go out to the right side. And just let your leg stay quiet on the thigh, support. And just let your left pelvis broaden away from your right leg. Doesn't matter how high up you have your right leg or the support underneath your right leg, but just make sure that you keep the left pelvis broad and open. And then come up and do the left side. Go off to the left. And just stay quiet. can bend your knee if you get a little bit more broadness in the pelvis. Your broadening of your pelvis will aid you in releasing your diaphragm, because your pelvis and your diaphragm are so interconnected, and you know this. Changes how you're breathing. What's happening in your pelvis will change how you're breathing. How you're breathing and how you're working on your diaphragm will change how you're working in your pelvis, and that will reflect in your throat. So all of these go to, you know, to get your understanding of your breath and looking at your pranayama, and then come up. Now, just to get a bit of quietness more into your back and a quietness in your mental body and your breath, I suggest doing halasana supported. And if you're not doing halasana supported for whatever reason, you can do Setubandhavasana supported. It's time to quieten and rest now. And so your quietness, as I said before, your back bendings are very stimulating. You get a lot of blood into the head, into the chest. So your nervine body will become very uplifted. But you need to quieten it down now. And just be as simple as you can. You will just want to be there. Rest your arms. You can see how the arms are extended over the head. So, you know, don't have the arms back behind you or supporting your back. This is a resting halasana. It's not only beneficial after backbending, it's important to understand when you want to become quiet yourself, you're doing a restorative sequence. Your resting halasana is important, quiet. But just watch that your throat isn't tense at all. No matter what poses you're doing, you need to find that you can keep quietness in your throat. And it's often a challenge, because the quietness in the throat is indicative of what's happening into your mental body. So if there's a lot going on in your mental body, more often than not, your throat is very quiet. If you've got a dialogue happening in your throat, then your mental body is flittering. And Gita Ji has said that. You don't want to have a conversation, and it's not like it's a conversation that you can hear. You can hear it, but whoever's outside of you can't hear it. But there's this conversation going on, and it's a dialogue in your vocal diaphragm. So we need to quieten there. Quiet inhalation and exhalation. So your face, your eyes, your ears. And just for a few moments, take your hands back, place your hands on your back chest, and go to Shavasana. And just lift your legs, open your pelvis, tailbone, quiet your eyes, your face should be very quiet after your halasana. Tongue releasing. It's like you didn't really want to be coming out of your halasana. Don't over work your face, your eyes, your throat, your tongue. Just let your eyes stay quietly looking at your chest and maybe checking out your legs. And stay quiet with that. And then back into halasana. Now you can choose to stay quiet again back in your halasana for your shavasana. Or you can just roll yourself out of either your setuband or your halasana and just lie yourself quietly on the floor. Support the back of your knees if you need to. And just let your body spread, your back body. You've really thought about your back body throughout your practice, so let your back body spread on the floor. But the very presence of your inner body, your inner front body, is still there. And so see if you can invite the breath with the inhalation without narrowing the back body now. Your back body is very broad. Just inhaling, spread your chest. But you can feel that your back body is spreading on the floor. So as you inhale, your back body doesn't narrow. So I must be... you know, put this little imprint into, it's like your yoga vocabulary, your yoga knowledge, your understanding, so that when you sit for your pranayama or you're doing your tadasana, as you inhale, your back body stays open. Your back body doesn't narrow as you inhale. Your back body stays spreading as you inhale. Just stay quiet. Just inhaling and exhaling. And I'll leave you with your shavasana. Thank you. Namaste to all of you. And namaste to you. Thank you to Guruji.